And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And if it is the second Tuesday of the month from 3 to 4, as well as Monday and Tuesday 3 to 4, Understanding Autism, starring Kimberly Isaac and Paul Loudon, all the way from Houston, Texas. Guys, how are you? I just saw you yesterday. Here you are back again, meaning you might like this show.
We might like this
show. You love the show, Understanding Autism.
Yep.
And I am sorry, Paul, about last night's action. Houston Texans did not fare well.
I heard we did really badly. Yeah. I didn't watch it. I'm not a football person.
It was a tough one.
I've heard it described as a disaster.
Yeah, it was a disaster.
Wait, as bad as Seahawks and Cardinals?
No, not as bad as that. I don't even know the final score.
I just read we made five big mistakes. Yeah. Cost us 28 points total between those five big mistakes. And that was it.
Yeah.
That if we had been playing better, we would have had a decent chance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's still a great team.
That if we end up playing the Patriots again, that it's still a question up in the air. Yeah.
I agree. Both you never know who could win that game. Both great teams, and that could happen once again. So we talked about yesterday, and we'll continue this like a part two, tips and strategies for holiday situations. When you're on the autism spectrum or your caregiver, a parent, anyone related to that. And this is valuable stuff. Am I right, Miss Kimberly?
I think it's very valuable.
And let's do one other thing. What is RDI again?
Oh, this is a whole other show. But
I mean, just a general description, who you are, Paul, and how it's a little different. Because there are different modalities out there, and it's good to know.
It is different, and RDI stands for Relationship Development Intervention, and, you know, basically, well, there's actually RDI offers a few different programs, and so they offer a parent training program, which really involves parent training, learning about autism, learning how to reinstate your role as a parent, and developing a relationship with your child that you can help guide them. And that really focuses on that. And then there's also a developmental side of RDI where it really focuses on that social-emotional development piece and the interdependence in terms of working with a guide. And then there's a third piece called dynamic intelligence. And basically that helps people to learn to think dynamically. And just to give a short example is a communication example, which would be telling someone to put on their shoes versus saying, you have nothing on your feet. So I'm not going to get too far into that, but I just wanted to give an example. So RDI really encompasses sort of a few branches of a need for people on the spectrum.
So that would be like you can give people fish for a day or you can teach them the fish for a life.
That's a good way of saying it.
Is that a good way, Paul?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so. I like that. I like that. Let's just put it that way.
We need to do another RDI show sometime in the future.
My limited understanding of it is it's sort of an inside-out approach where rather than focusing on developing specific skills or abilities, you focus on filling in the areas that are missing from the core deficits, the things that have gone wrong, so that the child or person is then better able to develop those skills on their own.
Gotcha. Very nicely said.
Right. And those different programs, there's a lot of different programs involved, but basically,
that's general approach.
That's the gist, yeah.
Anyway, today we're talking about the holidays. Yesterday we talked a lot about a family dinner and things that you can think about leading up to that and things that can happen at it, and just focused a lot on the general idea of reducing uncertainty, making it less anxiety-filled for someone on the spectrum and helping them to be prepared for it from their side. In the past, we've sort of talked about how to help parents and family members be prepared for it. We've talked about communicating with them. If you go back to last year's shows around this time of year, we have some shows on that. And this year, we're talking about other situations like giving and receiving gifts, things like that.
Yeah, and actually, I was going to say, I was thinking sometimes I just want to give a number actually for questions. Now, the reason I'm doing this is because someone may have a specific situation maybe that we are not covering that they want to ask about. And today is December 11th. Okay, I just want to give that because sometimes we replay shows. So, So if you have something that you want to bring up and ask us about today, you can call us at 602-296-3632.
Or text us at 832-278-1441. And just to let you guys know, Kim and I do read our Facebook page. So if you ever have questions, we might read them and answer them there on our Facebook page at facebook.com/understandingautismradio. We do try to be involved with our audience.
Yeah, and especially for this topic, I feel like I feel kind of, I don't know, I take this topic very seriously because I feel so strongly about, you know, quality of life for families and for the people on the spectrum. And with the holidays coming up, I feel that there's so many opportunities that can be set up and noticed and worked on to help just, you know, people to enjoy this time of year and really focus on the enjoyment and not so much stress, you know, so much. Yesterday, we were talking specifically about having a family get together for a meal, and we discussed, you know, the importance of thinking some things through ahead of time, considering your child and, you know, what his or her needs are in order to have an idea of what you need to do to plan, you know, ahead of time. Sometimes it might be talking with friends or relatives ahead of time, and definitely talking and clarifying things for the child or the person on the spectrum in terms of, you know, what some potential things are to expect, and, you know, share any relevant sort of previews about, you know, what's going to be going on. And today we were actually having a focus of a particular area of the holidays, which is gift giving and opening. And actually, Paul and I came up with this topic last month, and I realized there's actually quite a lot to it. Gift opening times, I mean, everybody does it at different times, but regardless, there's like turn-taking involved. There's understanding the intention behind, you know, manners related to gifts and things like that. So we thought we would talk about that a little bit today.
Though it's probably good to start the night before because there's always that question of how early do we get up? Do we get to, you know, run to the gifts immediately? Do we have breakfast first? So we'll start with the night before and previewing things.
Yeah, or it could be even more than the night before. I mean, and also
Previewing the night before.
Definitely want to do the ahead of time. Yeah, for
so
sure.
So there's gift giving. Mm-hmm. There's gift receiving. Mm-hmm. Would that be the same as opening? Receiving and opening.
It can be.
How about gift purchasing?
Oh.
Would that be something that might be
you know,
interesting?
That's interesting. And
I think gift purchasing, picking good gifts, understanding the whole thing about the giving of gifts is a bigger topic that probably is a show on its own because it covers, you know, Mother's Day, birthdays, all those other things.
Oh, yeah.
So the idea of what are gifts and what are they for is probably something we can take up on another time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
but
makes
let's see
sense.
Let's see how it all flows. But, yeah, so, okay, so now we're starting with, okay, so thinking it through a little bit ahead of time. And something I reflected on after yesterday's show is how important it is to sit down ahead of time and think through what your situation is going to look like. So in this case, you know, how do we set up our gift opening? You know, what does our family do? And sort of make a list, all the things that are relevant that you know, it's like, okay, we always do one gift Christmas Eve and the rest in the morning. And, you know, we always have music playing, you know, just kind of formulating a list so that you can take that and then think about your child and what you may need to clarify ahead of time.
So there's a lot to this, it sounds like. You know, it sounds so simple, but not.
Exactly. I think we take it for granted how easy it is for us to process things. And even if we're uncomfortable, we really can rapidly shift through it much better.
And go ahead, Paul.
I think the truth is, for most people on the autism spectrum, nothing is really simple. There's always aspects of it that people are overlooking that are there that can potentially trip us up.
And that makes sense to me. And, you know, what I was going to say is just think of even if you're not on the spectrum, the emotions that could go along with gifts. Some people will get a gift and they now think it's an obligation to them and they go, well, I didn't want that. Or they have nonverbal communication like, what? You know, right?
That's true.
And then on the other side, people might feel obligated to give a gift and maybe there's some emotions all bundled up of, you know, could cause resentment or even if you get, you know, let's say you have siblings, and one sibling gets a great gift, and
or
someone
what you perceive,
or is a great gift, and someone else they don't think is as valuable. There's a lot of emotions, Paul. I mean, did you experience that when, or do you experience that when you're on, as someone on the spectrum? All these emotions that could go into it.
Oh, there were definitely times where there had been stuff like that. That you know, I didn't know how to thank someone well for a gift, or I do have a brother, and he and I would get similar gifts, and one that stands out was a radio that we both got stereo systems one year, like to listen to CDs and stuff on, and his was literally better. It was just like, it wasn't one of those, they were different and each one could be better, but it had everything mine had plus some stuff. And it resulted for my parents thinking that they were getting us both ones that were better in different ways, but really they hadn't read everything, so they'd gotten it wrong. And it was really upsetting for me because I didn't know that it was just, you know, an accident. I thought, well, they gave him something better. There's also the fact that he was a few years younger than me, so every year when we both got similar gifts, I was thinking, what did I get 2 years ago? Mine 2 years ago wasn't as nice as the stuff he got, this, you know, kind of thing. So I was interpreting it very differently than other people would interpret it, because I was looking at, well, if it keeps going like this, every year he's going to get stuff as good as me. So when I'm 18, he's going to get 2 more years of nice stuff. And if it keeps getting nicer, he's going to keep getting nicer stuff. And I'm, you know, I'm just going to be behind the curve the whole. I was seeing it very much as just a math problem almost.
Well, I know,
you know,
we're chuckling about it, but actually, really, truly, it was something.
Oh, it was really upsetting back then. Yeah.
And I don't. We're not laughing you or anything like that.
We're really admiring your.
It's such a perspective I never in a million years would have thought of.
And I think it's interesting though, and it's interesting. I mean, it's great awareness to know everyone's thought processes. And one's not better than another. It's just thought processes. Maybe there's more effective ones.
The thing is when you're extremely rules-based, then you think that there's a pattern there that if I'm getting – let's just say I get a $5 gift when I'm 10, a $7 gift when I'm 11, a $10 gift when I'm 12, then I think, okay, he should be getting a $5 gift when he's 10, and so on. You know, it just sort of seems like it should follow a pattern. And when it doesn't, I don't know what's going on. Or I think, well, okay, they must like him more than like me, because every year they're giving him more expensive gifts than they gave me when I was his age.
Did you think something. Did you go there?
Not there.
Okay.
But it's just one of those things that, like, you say, well, what does this mean? You assume that things have to have meaning.
Yeah.
And so when you see a pattern that to you seems not to favor you, then you assume that the meaning is that it's supposed to not favor you.
Gotcha.
That there's a reason for things. So it can be very hard to interpret things that really shouldn't be interpreted.
Yeah.
So it brings us to maybe a question, something that you talked about, parent training, maybe awareness to the parents, to the gift giver, maybe can plan that out and talk to people about, listen, is there something they should say as they give a gift to someone on the spectrum to create the meaning? Rather than let someone assume the meaning. I don't know. Is that something that would be valuable?
I'll need to think about that a little bit more. But something that comes to mind related to this, Paul and I just chatted about it very briefly. But, you know, and this is actually for any parent to teach any kid. But, you know, just some manners about accepting the gift or opening the gift. I mean, you know, and focusing on the reason why we have, you know, a neutral or positive response to people, no matter what the gift actually is to appreciate the effort that they put into buying it for you. And I know for kids, that's just a hard thing. You know, when you open the gift, you're like, oh, I didn't want that. And then they have some kind of negative reaction. When you're thinking about social situations and the gift giving, is just kind of remembering that you might need to explain why we have certain manners and rules, you know, during times like that. And again, I mean, with autism, I think it makes it just a little more complicated. They really do need to know the why in this situation, because it can feel like, hey, my parents are asking me to lie. Like, you know, right? I mean, we sort of talked about that a little bit. If you're just telling someone, you need to tell them you like the gift, whether you like it or not, that could be really confusing for someone who doesn't understand the impact of the feedback system. So giving some kind of negative or, you know, exaggerated response to the person who gave you this gift, now they're not thinking about, I guess, the you know, the inferences they can make as well. This person really went to the, you know, to effort to actually find me a gift, and they actually got me a gift, you know, stuff like that. So I think it's important ahead of time just to talk about, you know, the manners that you're going to expect from your child and explain, you know, why and actually how to go about those things and maybe even practice some scenarios. Like, what could we say if, you know, let's say, yeah, we get a gift that we didn't like. You know, what are some ways, how could we still communicate our gratitude for the effort, you know, and not, and, you know, stuff like that, just to kind of go through some of that.
Well, that totally makes sense. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we will continue our discussion on tips and strategies during holiday situations. Yes, it is December. A lot of holidays coming up, and these are valuable tips to make your holiday joyful and stress-free. That's our goal. We'll be right back.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hi, I'm Paul and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And if it is the second Monday and Tuesday from 3 to 4, it is Understanding Autism, starring Kimberly Isaac and Paul Loudon, all the way from Houston, Texas. I will say that because that's very impressive. dedicated, committed to helping people. Paul, I admire you for that. It's a good stuff.
It's a bit of a trip.
It's a bit of a trip, but the trip is worth it because you help at least one person. That could change the world. Really, one person, then they could help someone else. All right, so we're talking about tips and strategies in holiday situations. Timely topic because it is December, known as holiday season.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff going on. Now, we're talking about gift giving, opening, anything related to that aspect, and certain tips and strategies to talk to parents and anyone involved with anyone on the spectrum. And let's start with the night before, because my understanding, after being on the show with you fine folks for several years now.
We're folks.
I learned a lot about, you know, it's very important to have structure, which leads to order. And I think it gives some comfort to people on the spectrum. And I think it gives comfort to people even if you're not on the spectrum often. But the structure is thrown off a little bit when it's Christmas Eve, or it could be. Kim, how does that, what suggestions would you give? Because it's a little bit different, and maybe someone on the spectrum might feel uncomfortable in a situation and a time when they should feel really happy,
and
joyful.
I would assume that they would feel maybe both of those. But I think of it as, I kind of put this picture in my head of a scenario of Christmas morning. And the first thought that kind of came to me was that morning is going to be very different than every other morning for that child or that person. You know, again, it's not like we get up, we go to school, and it's not like necessarily we get up on the weekends and hang out with our family. This is a different.
And maybe you get
really
up much earlier
morning.
Too, right?
Right. And maybe. If you feel really excited and maybe, you know, there's just a lot of things, you know, maybe you're, who knows, you may not be able to sleep as well because you're so excited. Mm. And then you have a hard time being patient, you know, the next morning, and you don't know how to communicate that. Or, I mean, there's just so many possibilities. So I think that, and just like we talked about yesterday, is thinking ahead of time and talking to your child about some of the differences that are going to be, you know, the night before. Just considering, you know, is there a different bedtime? Is there going to be a different routine? You know, are we going to actually be staying up later? You know, it obviously varies for, you know, family to family because everybody does, you know, their own traditions and things. But I think it's important to think about it ahead of time so you can just give your child, you know, kind of the heads up on it. And again, for some kids, you can verbally discuss it, and some you may need to write it out, and some you may need to have pictures. The key is to be clear as you can, so that you can show them, okay, you know, this is kind of what's going to be happening. And when I say kind of, actually, this is a good point. You never want to guarantee that this will be happening. You want to have a few question marks in there. In fact, if you're going to make a schedule, a visual type schedule, I always recommend actually drawing a literal question mark somewhere in the schedule so that they know at some point something could happen, but we don't know exactly what it is.
Now, I haven't mentioned this in a few months, NLP. But I mentioned it. Okay, that's my plug.
You haven't mentioned it in a few months because we haven't been live in a few months.
Exactly. I thought Paul would catch this one, and he did. Now, NLP.
Can't get nothing past him.
There's a thing called metaprograms, and you just said talk about differences. Now, a metaprogram is a content-free program in the deepest part of your unconscious mind. And what happens is you can sort, people naturally sort for, when they're exploring the world, differences or similarities.
People have a
lead system.
Right.
So the question is, can you also, you said talk about differences, can you talk also about the similarities of the night before as well as the morning?
That is an excellent point.
I think that a lot of people on the spectrum have difficulty recognizing similarities, though.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's actually a whole key into a core deficit, as you're right, and that's part of how that deals with uncertainty and being able to infer, and there's just a lot of different processes there, but I think that's a really good point. Identifying what the similarities are as well, and maybe you can expand a little bit on what's hard about, or an example of identifying similarities.
I don't know if
that's
I'm very good about that.
Yeah.
That's one area where I've gotten fairly strong in, so
actually,
it's hard
yeah.
for me to
I
think
like,
back to...
That's
to
true.
Well, let me...
Because, I mean, I'm a very... work a lot more in generalizations than I think people realize I do a lot of times, that I look for patterns and systems very much, and that requires identifying similarities that in ways that I probably wasn't able to 10 or 15 years ago, but it's hard for me to look at how I was then.
Right. Well, the concept, though, so you bring this up, and I think that's a great thing is to go through, and that's just part of previewing, really, is going through the scenario. Okay, so, yeah, our bedtime's going to be the same, just like normal, but this part's going to be different. And in my mind, I mean, we can
and
go...
An example of what might be different is maybe you can't come out as soon as you wake up. You need to come out of your room at least after this time in the morning or something like that.
That's a good point.
You know, we need to make sure that, you know, Santa has come and gone. Or, you know, or that anything we want to do out there is done, or whatever the situation may be. But you might want to set a firm rule of we don't come out until 7 and maybe say we're having breakfast at 8:30 or, you know, set up what is going to happen so that there is sort of less unexpected, but also so that you might be less surprised by your kid trying to do something that, you know, you hadn't prepared for. Because they may not get any inferred you shouldn't come out here until we're out here or anything like that either.
Right.
So one of the areas, though, we're talking about, and we talked about it yesterday, how structure creates order and order may create some type of comfort. So always good to give structure, right, Paul? That's what we're talking about.
Structure can be pretty comfortable, yes.
Yeah, but to me, and just let me know if I'm thinking about this in a way that makes sense, is... To me, structure would be similarities, not differences. So if you're already in the structure mode, isn't that the similarity that people people on the spectrum unconsciously are guided by? And they're sorting at an unconscious level?
I think structure doesn't necessarily have to do with similarities or differences. It's just knowns versus unknowns. Because you can know them because they're similar, you can know them because they're different, you can know them just because they are a specific thing, and you can use that to create structure. So structure is just eliminating unknowns, which can be done by identifying differences in advance or by identifying similarities in advance.
Interesting.
Minimizing unknowns.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you do it.
Right.
You minimize the total amount of unknowns
by
eliminating specific ones.
I see what you're saying.
Is what I was saying.
Okay.
That's very interesting. No, it really is. I think it is similar to NLP. Okay, back to Kim. All right, so here we are the night before. One of the tips would be in strategies, the parents, the caregivers, the family talk to the kids or the adults, you know, whoever's on the spectrum. And what do you then also talk to the kids and adults on the spectrum, or should they talk to the parents too? Can they initiate it?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, I mean, do you always start with the parents as the initiator to do the talk, or can you? I mean, as a facilitator, I mean, in your role, can you also have the kids and the adults on the spectrum initiate that to the parents if the parents don't know enough to do that?
Well, that would be awesome. I would love it if the people I work with would be initiators more. I think
is that
that's
possible?
Great.
I mean,
it's possible. One of the things, though, you bring up a good point, is they may not know that they can. So you could bring up to your child, you know what, if you have a question about this, or if you, you know, have a thought or a suggestion, I mean, you can open it up to that, just so they know that there might be some areas they can, you know, have a say in a little bit. But that's kind of all I can think of off the top of my head related to that. I mean, I am a fan of being as much, as collaborative as you can as possible in a healthy way. That doesn't mean the child rules the house and sets up every single thing. But I think it's good when you can collaborate and include the child on, I mean, maybe you haven't decided on the morning routine. Maybe you could sit down as a family and decide together versus, you know, I mean, is that kind of what you meant a little bit?
Yeah, or just because I'm sure we all have known parents that appear to be unaware, you know, in general. I mean, right through my travels in business and life, there's different types of parents. There's different types of caregivers. Some are super aware and some are oblivious. And so does that put the emphasis more on the child or the adult on the spectrum to take more initiative if they have someone
I see
that's not as aware and they could lead the charge?
Well, I think anyone can lead the charge, as you put it, that, you know, that what we're talking about here is tips for how to make it go more smoothly. If the child wants to initiate making it more smoothly, or the parents want to initiate it making more smoothly, it doesn't really matter so much who initiates it, so much as whether you clarify the situation. So,
that makes sense.
Yeah, and the only reason I think I understand better why you brought that up, but something that's pretty common or typical, I guess you could say, in autism is that there wouldn't be a lot of that initiation in terms of, hey, let's figure out how we're going to do Christmas morning. You know, you may hear a comment like, well, I just want to, you know, come out and open my presents whenever I'm ready. You might hear that, but or something like that. So, I mean, I think it's always a good idea to, if there is an appropriate way to open up, you know, decision making as a family to include your child, I think that's great. I mean, but it does start with parents in terms of you have to think it through and decide when that's going to be a good idea. And when there are going to be some things that aren't really negotiable.
So, you know, what popped in my head now, it's like the best time to start really isn't in December. It's really all year long preparing anyone on the spectrum and training the parents to be able to come up with unexpected situations. Well, isn't that the case?
Yeah, I mean, the ideas we're presenting here are the same ideas we've been presenting always, which is being able to think through situations, being able to understand your own thought processes, try to understand theirs, and present ways and ways that are compatible between the two different ways you think. What we're just trying to do today, I guess, is highlight some specific things that are worth thinking about with the holidays that are coming up.
And I guess, to giving a specific scenario, I think that from my work with families, you know, a question I might get a lot of is, okay, so can you help me think this through? You know, we're having company. The gift giving is going to be much longer than it was last year, you know, and we have turn taking, and how is that going to go? So I think, you know, framing it scenario by scenario, you know, just I think gives people a framework in their minds of what they can relate to. So, yeah, the content, I mean, we're always talking about planning and preparing and thinking things through and guiding and stuff like that. I think focusing on the holidays and specific events just, I'm hoping, you know, creates a clearer picture in someone's mind of how they can apply that, you know, to the scenario.
So here's a situation maybe we haven't thought of that could be real. Christmas Eve, night before, you go to a family member's house. They do open gifts. You come back and you wait till the next day.
Ooh.
So that, you know, that's a situation where maybe it has to be clarified, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, how would you speak on that?
You know, with every single one, it's kind of situational. Hopefully you knew this was going to happen before you went to their house. So you might talk about how, you know, we're opening the gifts there because we want to do it as a family, and that's when we're getting together. That, you know, that the real spirit of the holidays, this, you know, that it's about togetherness and et cetera.
Right.
You know, talk about, you'd have to go back to the meaning and what gift giving means to you or whatever. Now, explaining why then you wait until the next morning for your own gifts, that's a little tougher because, you know, if they're wanting reasons, the only reason is because that's how we've always done it, probably. And that can be a hard one to deal with.
Well, I was kind of thinking, too. I mean, in that particular situation, you really would know ahead of time, I would be assuming, because if you're doing that exchange, you'd have to know to bring the gift. So, you know, ahead of time, you could explain, you know, different families do things differently. And everybody, you know, so just kind of helping them to realize it's not like, well, we're the mean family who makes you wait. You know, we're not going to let you
unless your last name is mean.
Oh, right. No. But no, it's just like, you know what? Okay, Aunt Sally's family does it this way, and our family does it this way. And it's kind of cool that we get a little bit of both. I mean, you can always, I mean, truthfully, there are benefits to, you can find some benefits and some positives in these situations. You just sort of have to think about how you're going to frame it in terms of your, you know, communication.
Okay, so then how about this situation? I got another one. What if you start about 8 days earlier and you go every night where someone opens a gift 8 nights?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
Well, if you're just doing that, then you're just doing
that. Well, that would be Hanukkah.
I know, and actually,
that's interesting,
you know,
too, right?
It is. I was thinking
different traditions,
well,
customs.
Well, yeah, and right. I.
explaining different traditions and customs can be really difficult to someone on the spectrum, because a lot of times they want reasons, they want why, and I've talked a lot about why before.
Yeah.
And tradition is one of those things that doesn't have a concrete why that you can really explain to someone.
Mm.
That a lot of the why behind tradition is because that's what we've always done, that this is what we believe in.
Gotcha.
And it's not something that you can say it works best because of this, 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 and this, or that you can really talk your way through. So I personally don't have any good advice for explaining tradition to someone on the spectrum, and I think that might be a pretty huge topic all on its own, that it's a rough one. But I think that that if enough of the people around you do it that way, then you can say, look, they do it this way too, they do it this way too, we're the kind of people who do it this way. And that maybe help. It may help just to have other people who also do it, so it's not just a, we're the only ones doing this and everyone else has Christmas.
Well, and I think that's part of the planning and preparing, you know. So, I mean, that is the reality. Every family is different, you know, despite beliefs or whatever. But I think is, you know, thinking about it ahead of time and just, you know, reiterating that everybody has a choice. Some families choose this and some families choose this. It's not, you know, putting a judgment or, you know, because I could see where some people would say, hey, they get 8 nights of presents and we get one morning. That sucks.
And you say, but yeah, but their presents are all socks.
Oh. But no, see how I know. But no, I think that's just part of, and it's good that we're kind of throwing these things out there,
because
I'm hoping
happen.
That it will spur some thought for people. You're right. I mean, you know, I think,
and that's really the goal here, is just to remind people that a lot of different things do and can happen, and it's really going to be helpful if you sort of preview them and if you look for ways to make it go more smoothly.
Yeah, the best you can. And I just want people to know, I mean, again, you can plan and prepare and feel good that you did that and not feel like you have to control everything. There's no way you can eliminate every single potential thing that's going to be hard, you know, in your situation, but you can.
And I would argue that doing that is actually bad.
Oh yeah.
That, you know, that
it is.
You know, some surprises, some uncertainty, it gives someone room to grow.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
That the idea is managing it, not eliminating it.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. Room to grow.
Well,
I'm writing
really
that down.
I mean,
that could
really
be a book
title. I mean,
room
it is.
To grow.
Well, it is the whole point of everything we want year-round. But
very
I
nice.
Could see where the element of the holidays, I think, adds a huge stress for families. There's just so much to it. There's other things besides the actual, I mean, there's budgeting and there's schedule changes for them. And so I think the resources of parents are a little bit tapped out differently than they are. And so, the best you can do is sort of think a little bit ahead of time and give yourself that, okay, this is, you know, I planned this and I've done this and other things are going to happen. That's okay. That doesn't mean I failed. Because I've seen parents where they're like, well, we made the schedule and it didn't go right. And, you know, it's not about that. It's about thinking a little bit ahead of time and planning the best you can and keeping the attitude of, you know, it's all learning experiences. You can take what you learn from this holiday and you can use it for next year. Or
well, there's a saying, no plan of battle survives the first encounter with the opposing forces. And while this isn't a battle, the idea behind that is really good, that no plan you make will ever be perfect, that things are going to go wrong. So don't stress the fact that it goes wrong. Don't even worry about the fact that it went wrong. Just look at how you can improve it going on from there.
Right.
And the key is, one reason I mentioned that it's a year-round deal is so parents realize that you shouldn't put pressure on kids or adults or anyone on the spectrum by, like, cramming for an exam. Like, oh, this is like, it's not just the holidays, but it's a reflection on me and how well I cook the dinner or how well I set up the Christmas tree.
Or how well my child behaves.
Exactly.
I think that's one of the biggest stresses I've seen. Is
totally agree.
And this is a very natural and understandable human feeling. I mean, no matter how much you love your child and understand your child, you know that not everybody's going to see certain things the same way.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with, you know, I mean, it just has to do with a tough situation of not being able to make everything just right. And you just have to realize, you know, I can talk to people ahead of time and just choosing to have an attitude of, you know what, I'm going to enjoy this and we're going to do the best we can.
Yep.
And that's how it should. That's the best way to actually enjoy your holiday. You don't want to look back and say, wow, I spent 3 hours designing this minute by minute schedule and it all fell apart. You know, you don't want to remember your holiday that way.
Totally agree. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion, understanding autism, tips and strategies for the holiday situations. I have another situation I don't think you thought of, and when we come back, I'm going to disclose that. Stay tuned for more.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is Understanding Autism every second Monday and Tuesday from 3 to 4, starring Kimberly Isaac and Paul Loudon. And we're talking about tips and strategy in holiday situations, specifically on what to do the night before related to structure and order, gift opening, gift giving. I came up with something that happens, and it may not be frequent, but there may be a listener out there that can relate to this, and then we could move on, but maybe just mention it, is that Christmas, always December 25th, that also could be a birthday for a sibling. It sets up an interesting situation where someone's going to either feel bad or feel good. Perhaps the birthday person may think they're getting ripped off because, everyone's getting gifts on their birthday, or maybe it's extra special and someone else may think they're not as special. Any comments on it?
Well, that can be a rough one. Honestly, if you're within about a week of Christmas, there's always that temptation to combine the presentation of gifts. I probably just narrowly escaped since my birthday's early January. But the thing is that that's another one where, I can't really foresee specific problems necessarily that aren't along the lines of, like I talked about, when my brother and I would get different quality of gifts or something, where someone might, count up the gifts or whatever. So it's one of those where I don't know.
I mean, the only thing that I can think of, I'm sure there are people out there that experience that. I don't think it's probably the common thing, but
right. But
it's maybe just to make it really clear separation. You know, not just clump it in and say, here, with the Christmas gifts is your birthday present, but really spending time to separate from the Christmas and say, this is a birthday. We're going to decorate a portion birthday. We're going to make it clear that it's birthday and not just falling into the the lump of stuff.
That's you could just have the birthday party on a different day, since a lot of times we do that anyway. We have our birthday party on weekends when it falls in the middle of the week.
That's a good point.
So, you know, you can say, you know, shift it a couple days during the holidays still, but on another day so you can have the cake and get everyone over. And
that, in my opinion, it would be better to do it beforehand just so that they have that. It's behind them. They got to enjoy that and then move forward, you know, to Christmas. I think that would also help someone to think that they are, you know, of importance to be put ahead of all the other craziness going on. I mean, that's just my own opinion. But,
you know, and here's something. You may want to say this is a topic for a different time because it could take a lot. But I do think this happens. So I'm just thinking of situations that could happen. One, parents are separated. Two, they're divorced and they have split time. And three, military these days where the dad or the mom is gone. Is that something that any tips related to that? Because that could be traumatic for a kid.
I would say that separated parents, for whatever reason,
Yeah.
is a whole other show.
I would agree.
You know, that really we're going to have to tackle that in a more thorough fashion just in general. And I think that that'll bring back some more ideas for this, but I think that it'd be hard to give, you know, any specific ideas for this rather than just sort of general ways to change
but
the meaning of it.
It is a situation, you know, we just want to let people know, well, you could be in that situation.
Well, you definitely can. But the thing that I love about our focus in terms of we think these things through, these are not definite, do this, do this, do this. Part of, we talk about this planning and preparing. So whatever your situation is, if you know what your situation is and you are thinking ahead and you are sort of doing some planning, the same things still apply.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's the big goal of this show is that we don't want to tell you what to do, but give you tools to help you decide what to do.
Yeah. Like kind of provide insight on creating a little mental map for yourself on, okay, so we know that, this holiday is, I mean, because a lot of divorced parents rotate holidays, you know, so it's like, okay, but if you know that ahead of time, which I'm assuming you probably would, is you can just help by clarifying it. So it really is, I mean, it's the same in terms of a thinking level. As far as the emotions involved and the chaos, I mean, that's going to be different, you know, potentially different. But the idea of planning and preparing and thinking about it ahead of time is the same.
Yeah, well, that I guess that would be the good point, is that you need to communicate and at least give, like what you said, Paul. I mean, try to make, well, I don't know if you said it quite this way, but some type of forecast or prediction so someone on the spectrum can comprehend that, oh, this is what's coming up, so it won't be unexpected.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's again back to the general idea of minimizing the unexpected, that you can't eliminate it and you don't want to eliminate it, but you want to make it so that the impact of unexpected things or the impact of whatever happens falls within a range that doesn't overwhelm them.
Let me ask you this, Paul. Is there a way to communicate this? I'm sure growing up there were different people talking to you, you know, maybe, you know, the mom, maybe the dad, maybe other family members. Was there one particular style of communication that made you more comfortable? Is that possible to understand how, not just what to say to someone, but the how?
The how is a big thing to me. That this is something that, I mean, we've sort of had shows on it in the past, and I know we're going to have many more in the future. That for me, a lot about communication, you know, as you've said, that the meaning of communication is the response that you get. I personally don't really agree with that, but part of it is that it's true that you need to understand the person you're communicating to, and you need to tailor your communication to them. So I don't want to give a how that's sort of a general how, but rather, you know, if you're around someone on the spectrum enough, you might pick out that they're probably more likely to respond well to certain types of communication, especially communication that puts less responsibility on them for interpretation. That, you know, the more of the communication you leave up to them, the less likely it is, I think, to turn out well.
I agree with that. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's just because it's harder for people on the spectrum to see the bigger picture, to make inferences, to put together the package of all the nonverbal, you know, the posture, the gesture, the tone, the this, the, you know, it's harder to really pick up what the big package of the communicator is sending.
I think, yeah, I mean, a key is really being conscious about saying what you mean, not implying what you mean. Now, sometimes, like Kim said, you might point out that their feet don't have shoes on them. But be aware when you're doing that. Be conscious when you're doing that, that you aren't telling them put on your shoes, and so that you don't get upset with them when they don't put on their shoes,
right,
because you didn't tell them to. So you're hoping that they'll pick up on it, but be completely conscious that they may not, and
right,
don't have a consequence there for them not picking up on it. That,
right,
you know, that you need to be explicit in your communication. When you're intentionally not explicit, don't be upset when you don't get the response you were expecting.
Right. And I'm glad you brought that up, because really, I probably didn't clarify. Just that if you've decided you're going to work with them and help them think things through, that kind of communication, if you're there to support them through it, is one thing. But if you are, you know, you deliberately, I mean, you have something that you want to say that you are expecting a response for, and not treating it as some kind of lesson, you know, in thinking, you want to, I mean, you always want to strive for clarity. And part of that is, I keep saying these words, is planning and preparing. You do have to think a bit ahead of time, you know, and just say, okay, what is it I really mean? What do I know about the person I'm communicating with? You know, and make the best decision you can. I mean, nobody's going to be perfect. Nobody's going to get it right every time. But, you know, the important thing is you give it your best effort to think it through the best you can.
So are you both saying be very specific? Is that another way of saying
if it? If you want the response that you expect,
yeah,
be as specific,
gotcha,
and clear as,
yes,
possible.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's great
if
advice,
if you want a specific,
though,
response,
yeah,
give a specific instruction,
yes,
or communication.
Right. And teaching lessons is a little bit different. But, yeah, yes.
Specific. Okay. Well, I think that's good advice. That's a good tip, because maybe – and so the emphasis, you're saying, put it back on the communicator. Are they specific enough? And
if your goal is a specific response.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And your goals could be something else at some
time. Yeah, your goal could be teaching, or providing them,
gotcha,
the opportunity to make their own,
right,
decisions, or providing them the opportunity to try to interpret what you're saying. But if your goal is this needs to be done, then be as clear and concise as possible.
And during the holidays, it could be...
That may often be the case.
And it could be dual goals too, right? Maybe a lesson as well as being specific.
Yeah, you just have, yeah, to decide ahead of time, though.
Yeah.
You know, do I have the time and the patience?
Yeah.
Is this what I'm focusing on? Or am I just trying to lay down some clarity here and not expect a process to happen? So again, it's just, it involves mindfulness on the part of the guide.
So that's... you say mindfulness and be aware. Paul would describe it that way. Same thing. I like it. And that just shows how communication is different but ends up the same place sometimes. They both mean the same to me. Very nicely done. Wow, can you believe this hour flew by?
It did fly by.
And we wish everyone happy holidays,
yes,
this holiday season. How do they get in touch with you?
Well, at the moment, we are being as active as we can on our Facebook page.
Oh.
And so you can find us on Facebook. In the search engine, you can actually just type in Understanding Autism Radio, and we come up with our awesome logo, our heart-shaped logo. And you can post questions, comments, anything. We love to hear from you. And again, if you have any holiday questions, definitely post them there. You can also email me if you have questions about RDI or more specific type tips at RDIArizona@yahoo.com.
Excellent. And Paul?
That's it.
That would wrap it up. And you have a safe trip back. Have a happy holiday, Paul. And Kim, I'll be seeing you this holiday season.
Yes.
Oh.
Looking forward to
you. You were doubtful about that. Okay. Anyway, have a great night, everyone. And see you tomorrow. Breakthrough Sports.